Hello, I'm Barry Black. Welcome to the Hope Channel and to Higher Ground. I am excited about today's message on how to be truly free. So many people think that they are free, but they have false freedoms because they're living in a democracy. They say, I am free, but only the ones whom the Son has set free are free indeed. Come with me to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Welcome to Higher Ground. I'm Barry Black, and today we're talking on the subject, free indeed. There are so many people who are longing for freedom, and yet they have not found it, because only Jesus can give you true freedom. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, beginning with verse 31, we find this wonderful word from the Lord. The Bible says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore,'" verse 36, "if the Son, S-O-N, makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Someone has said, there are only two kinds of people in this world. People who are in bondage to sin, or people who have been set free. Every year, we celebrate America's birthday on the 4th of July. We call it Independence Day because it was on July the 4th, 1776, that America declared her independence from Great Britain. And many, many Americans felt free at last, free at last. It was a costly freedom. That freedom would continue to exact a price. For years later, a man by the name of Lincoln, a legendary figure in our history, after one of the bloodiest battles ever fought on the planet, Gettysburg, talked about a new birth of freedom. This land, America, has so many wonderful freedoms that every year people leave their land of origin to journey to this, the land of the free and the home of the brave. We have freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of assembly, freedom to petition. We have many marvelous freedoms. And yet I would ask the question, are we free indeed? are you free indeed? Free from the shackles that bind, free from guilt, free from addictions, free from bondage to sin. It is critically important that you have the freedom that only God can give. You see, Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 8 that if you sin, you are in slavery. Listen to what he says here. He says in John 8, verse 34, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. The 19th century French historian and political scientist Alexis de Tocqueville visited America, and he concluded, America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Now, there are many people who say de Tocqueville never said that, but if he didn't, he should have. Well, Proverbs 14:34 tells us righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. Sin does not care that your name is America. It will still destroy you. In 1991, two researchers, Kim and Patterson, did a survey of more than 10,000 people, asking them the question, what would you be willing to do for $10,000? And the answers of the various people revealed the pathology that exists in subcultures of this great land. Kim and Patterson reported their findings in their book, The Day America Told the Truth. They told the respondents, the people who turned in the surveys, this will be anonymous, and this is what they found. 25% of the people said they would leave their religion for $10 million. Another 25% said they would leave their families for $10 million. 23% said they would become a prostitute for a week for $10 million. 16% said they would leave their spouses for $10 million. 10% said we would be willing to withhold vital information that would permit a murderer to go free for $10 million. 7% said they would be willing to murder a stranger for $10 million. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? As long as we sin, as long as we are addicted to sin, we are not free indeed. Plato described the human will as a charioteer with two headstrong horses, each pulling in the opposite direction. The poet said there's a little bit of bad in the best of us and a little bit of good in the worst of us. So it behooves the best of us not to talk about the rest of us. Are we truly free? In John chapter 8, the context of our particular scripture is interesting. Jesus had just finished an encounter with the religious leaders. A woman caught in adultery had been brought to him. Now, how you commit solo adultery, I still don't know. But our blessed Lord began writing in the sand. And as he wrote, this woman's accusers walked away. And then Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And as he continued his discussion with believers, with Pharisees and Sadducees, many believed on him. And so, beginning with verse 31, the Bible says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you are going to be free indeed, you must start your discipleship with Jesus. Discipleship begins with him. That's number one on our chalkboard. Begin your discipleship. Start your discipleship with Jesus. That means believing everything he said. I had a lawmaker come to me and say, Chaplain, I've got problems with the God of the Old Testament. I quoted Hebrews 1, beginning with verse 1, God in sundry times and various manners appeared unto the prophets as in these last days, appeared unto us through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You must begin discipleship with Jesus. Believe what he said about God. He said, God, John 3:17, sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. He described God as that loving father waiting for the prodigal to return. Believe what he said about the terrors of sin. In Matthew 18, he says it would be better to go through life maimed and to have your body and soul cast into hell. Become a disciple, but start it by trusting the words of Christ. For John chapter 1 tells us he is the Word made flesh. The second admonition, if you are to be free indeed, is to abide in God's Word. You start with Jesus as the basis of discipleship, but then you abide in his word. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciple. You should not just wait until a worship service once or twice a week to open the word of God. It is your spiritual food. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I tell my Bible study students, every day you eat physical food, eat spiritual food. In the Our Father, when our Savior says we should pray, give us this day our daily bread, I don't think he is just talking about breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For he said in the wilderness of temptation, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is your spiritual food. This is your spiritual nourishment. I drive into my job listening to Scripture on my car's CD player. Getting my nourishment. You can listen to the entire Bible in less than 70 hours. And what a wonderful accomplishment that would be. But there is a third admonition. If you're going to be free indeed, refuse to take privilege for granted. Some of the Jewish leaders said to Jesus, we are Abraham's children. How can you say you need freedom? And that is when Jesus said, if you sin, you are a slave to sin, refused to take privilege for granted. In Matthew 10, Jesus gave his disciples the power to cast out demons. But later on, in Matthew chapter 17, they tried to cast out demons from a little boy, and they were unsuccessful because they had permitted pride and disunity to destroy their power. They took privilege for granted. If you're going to be free indeed, don't take privilege for granted. Admonition number 4. If you're going to be free indeed, don't be ignorant of your bondage. The Jews said, "We have Abraham as our father. We have never been in bondage to anyone." I call that selective amnesia. They had been in bondage to Pharaoh for 400 years in Egypt. They had been in bondage to the Assyrians, to the Babylonians. And they chronicled that experience in the 137th Psalm, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps on the willows in the midst thereof." They had been in bondage to the Persians, Artaxerxes, Darius. They had been in bondage to the Romans and were, even as they spoke, in bondage to the Romans, Antiochus, Augustus, Tiberius. Are you ignorant of your bondage to sin? Paul cried out in Romans 7, "The good that I would do, I do not. And the evil that I would not do, I find myself doing." Being aware of your frailty is an important part of the process of being free indeed. And then there is admonition number 5, avoid false freedom. Well, there are people who think they're free because their mortgage is paid off. Financial freedom is not true freedom. Our blessed Lord said in Luke chapter 12, "A person's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he or she possesses." There are some who embrace the false freedom of legalism. They're like the man in Luke 18, whom our Savior said prayed to himself, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I possess." He thought his works brought him freedom. But the Savior said, he prayed to himself. And then there are, I'm going to use a big word, there are antinomians. There are people who believe that the grace of God frees them to do whatever they want to. They can break any of the commandments and it doesn't matter because grace will cover them. That too is a false freedom. And that is why the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 3:31, "Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law." So avoid false freedoms. The false freedom of finances, the false freedom of legalism, the false freedom of cheap grace, even the false freedom of the political. There are some folk who believe if I can just live under this kind of government, I will be truly free. Forgetting again that it is righteousness that makes a nation great, and it is righteousness that makes a nation free. The final admonition is no freedom's true source. In John chapter 4, there was a woman who was looking for freedom. She was probably an attractive woman because she had 5 husbands. And when the marriage didn't click like she wanted it to click, she dropped one husband like a hot potato and picked up another. And after five husbands, she was exhausted with the legal process of marriage. And so she decided just to shack up, to live with the sixth man. The neighbors began to gossip. People talked about her until she didn't want to attend the local synagogue. She even had to go and fetch her water in the heat of the day to avoid the snide remarks and the contemptuous stares. But one day, this woman who had a false freedom, although she was shackled, she met the seventh man. He was a man who did not want to do anything but give her true freedom, for he was and is the true source of freedom. He asked her for water. She bantered with him almost flirtatiously. There in John 4, how is it that you, a Jew, are asking me, a woman of Samaria, for a drink of water? Our blessed Lord said, woman, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who was asking you for water, you would ask me for water. Whoever drinks of the water of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give will never thirst again. For the water that I will give will be in him or her a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Lord, I want that water. I believe Messiah will come, she said. The source of true freedom will come, Messiah. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the true source of freedom. Someone has written, all of the armies that have ever marched, all of the navies that have ever sailed, all of the parliaments that have ever sat, all of the kings and queens that have ever reigned have not made the impact upon humankind as has that one solitary life. My family was shackled. My mother was pregnant with me and had three children. Single parent on welfare when she met the true source of freedom, Jesus Christ. Many people in my family were addicted to alcohol and tobacco. They didn't go to church. I'm the first male on my father's side to graduate from college. But in Jesus Christ, my mother found and passed on to my siblings and me true freedom. Most of the men in my family died in their 50s. I would tell you how old I am, but that's classified, and I'd have to kill you if I told you. But the freedom that Christ gives delivers us from health challenges. The freedom that Christ gives delivers us from addictions. The freedom that Christ gives opens up new vistas of possibilities so that I, along with all of my seven siblings, ended up by the grace of God being contributing members of society. So implement these six admonitions. Start your discipleship with Jesus. Abide in God's word. Refuse to take privilege for granted. Don't be ignorant of bondage. And avoid the false freedoms that, like sirens, sing and and try to draw you. Know that Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the source of freedom. In New York Harbor stands a lady with her torch stretched toward the sky, and all who see her know what she stands for: liberty for you and me. And I'm proud to be an American, to be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag, and I'll trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. On lonely Golgotha stood a cross with our Lord stretched toward the sky, and all who kneel there live forever, as all the saints can testify. And I'm proud to be called a Christian, to be named with the ransom and whole, as the statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Yes, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. And I want you to know that Independence Day for me is every day. For if the sun has set you free, you, my dear one, you shall be free indeed.